Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about, this is a good opportunity for you to dial 844-322-2742. Like to talk about something, some particular topic, some Bible question, something you can't quite understand, why, a good opportunity, as I said right now, the lines are wide open, as is the phone line, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today's our last day to talk about mercy. That's been the theme for this month.
No more mercy.
Oh, it's gone.
Well, I picked 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to be the final verse that we talk about. And I think once you hear it, you'll realize the significance. Paul wrote this, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart."
Yeah.
Well, what's the ministry he's talking about right there? Well, it's this ministry of the new covenant. Mm-hmm. In chapter 3, he said, "God has made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit." Why? Because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Yes. That's the ministry that God has called each and every one of us to, and it's through the mercy of God that we are able to participate in that ministry. And I want to go back to the very first day of this month in February when we actually defined mercy as seen in both the Old and New Testament. In the Old Testament, the word mercy conveys a deep, kindly sorrow felt for another who has been struck with affliction or misfortune, accompanied by, and this is the important part, it's accompanied by a desire to relieve the suffering.
Yes.
So God's mercy is what he sees out there in this world. Mm-hmm. He sees our pitiful condition, and there's something inside of him that moves him to act on our behalf. God is rich in mercy. And he is so rich in mercy that he sent Jesus so that we could be made alive together with Christ.
Yes.
That's the mercy of God in action. We see it in the New Testament. It's to have compassion or mercy on a person in an unhappy circumstance. It's to bestow salvation upon somebody. It's to extend help. I'm having trouble talking today. Extend help for the consequence of sin. That's mercy in action. So when God, through his mercy, equips us to be a part of his ministry, to carry out this ministry of the new covenant, what he's saying to us is that the mercy that is within him, he's going to pour into our lives and then pour out into the lives of others. That's what this ministry is all about, the mercy flowing from God into us, out through us, into the lives of others. And it's only by his mercy that we're able to participate in that, that we are able to see the condition of this world and to respond in the same way that God is working in our hearts to respond, to reach out, to help, to lift someone up, to relieve a person of their suffering, both spiritually and physically. That's the mercy of God.
Absolutely, and he has plenty for all of us. This is Basic Gospel, where you hear about it just about every day, friends. We'd love to hear from you by phone, 844-322-2742. Something you'd like to talk about, a particular Bible question you'd like to get an answer for, good opportunity right now. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New Jersey and talk with Wayne, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Wayne.
How are you doing, Bob?
Doing well, thanks.
Yeah, question, right? How do we exercise our faith? Because the Bible says without faith, we cannot please the Lord. How do we extend our faith?
How do we exercise our faith? That's a wonderful question, Wayne. And, you know, we're so used to living by rules and regulations. We want a rule of thumb for every situation in life. And so normally we reduce faith to that kind of experience. You know, give me the 10 things I'm supposed to do, and that's what faith is. But that's really not faith. Faith is a dependence upon God that results in obedience to God. So I think the way we exercise faith is simply to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. And I think faith will take care of itself at that particular point. So faith is meaningless apart from Jesus. So if we'll just keep our eyes on him, all that he has accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection, all that he is teaching us by his Spirit through the Word of God, then I think faith is going to be that way of life that we live naturally as children of God.
Yes. What we tend to do is to focus on Jesus a little bit, and then we realize there are these amazing things that the Spirit wants to do, and then we start focusing on the amazing things, whether they're behaviors or new activities or whatever. And as soon as we focus on those things, we've taken our eyes off of Jesus. We're no longer walking by faith, even though these are all good things. And that's where the stress is in our lives, because we substitute the behavior for the relationship.
Yeah. So let me give you three characteristics, and there are many more that you see in the Bible. The fruit of the Spirit is going to be the result of our faith in Jesus Christ. But let me give you three quick characteristics that will show you that faith is genuine, that you are truly, quote, exercising faith. The first is a thankful heart. So if you are looking at Jesus, your heart will overflow with gratitude for all that he has accomplished for you. So you will be saying thank you. Faith always says thank you. Faith always rests. So we rest in the finished work of Christ. So that's contentment. I found my contentment in Jesus. So I'm no longer searching for things out there in the world. And then the third thing is love. Paul wrote this in Galatians 5:6. The most important thing is this: faith expressing itself through love. So as we are depending upon Jesus Christ, we're going to see the love of God flowing through us into the lives of others. So those three things: thankfulness, contentment, and love. Those are the qualities, the characteristics of a life being lived by faith in Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Hope that helps, Wayne. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes, we do. Plenty of open lines, friends. It's time for you to give us a call if you have a question, 844-322-2742. Guys, something very exciting. For years, we have been being pushed by a longtime friend, Mike Trout, to do something a little bit different than the daily broadcast. He has suggested on many occasions that we produce what we call a short feature, just maybe a 1 or 2 minute short feature that would offer encouragement, and scriptural truth. And today's the day. Today is the day that we launched that brand new feature. It's called Just a Minute, and as the name implies, it is 1 minute. Bob Christopher, of course, is hosting that. And if your station is not carrying it, we hope that it will be by the end of this week. We're actually going to twist some arms if necessary to make sure that each of our stations carry that program. But it's on many other stations, along with the Janet Mefford program, the Janet Mefford Today, and we're excited about it. And Bob, fill us in a little bit more about it.
Well, as you said, we've been contemplating this for many, many years. I think for 10 years or something, we've talked to various people, and you know, the timing was never right, and it seems like timing is so important when you're launching a new outreach. And the opportunity presented itself several weeks ago. We thought, wow, this is just perfect timing. It just seemed like a no-brainer. The light was very green.
Yes.
So we started moving in that direction. And as you said, it's a minute feature, short feature, daily hope and encouragement. So the first month we'll really be talking about forgiveness, different aspects of forgiveness, the forgiveness that we have in Christ, being able to forgive ourselves, what does that look like, and then being able to forgive others.
Yeah.
And this is going to give us an opportunity to get in front of many, many more people. Like today, it starts on 157 new stations.
Yes.
So our current program, Basic Gospel, that airs daily, is on 13 or 14 different stations around the country. OnePlace.com, our podcast, our mobile app, people can access that in a lot of different ways. But this Just a Minute gives us access to 157 brand new stations,
right.
And that's going to be a number that grows, I think, fairly rapidly.
Yeah.
And this is a very minimal cost to us. And again, this is the mercy of God at play. Mm-hmm. Another opportunity to minister the new covenant to people who desperately need to be anchored to the love of Christ.
Yeah.
And these one-minute features, it really fits our attention span these days. Mm-hmm. We're so used to everything coming to us in an instant. We're a microwave society. Our attention span is very short. So this really hits that, and I think it will capture people's attention in such a way that they'll want to know more. So we ask our current listeners here on Basic Gospel to be praying for that particular outreach, mm-hmm. for Just a Minute, for the many listeners that will be tuning in all across the country. And I said that number of stations is going to be growing. Maybe by the end of the year, it'll hit 1,000 stations.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think that is a very realistic possibility.
That's the opportunity that it opens up. And I'm sure that many of our listeners would like to know what it sounds like. Why don't we give them a taste of it right now, Greg? If you're ready. Not quite ready, but we will have it racked in just a moment. Let me give the phone number in the meantime, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, and we have plenty of time on the clock, plenty of open lines. Want to hear from you. Ready?
Just a minute. From Basic Gospel, here's Bob Christopher.
Do you know that God loves you? I mean, really loves you. Many answer yes, but deep down they're not sure. If that's you, maybe it's time to take a fresh look at what Jesus accomplished for you at the cross. There, Jesus shed his blood to take away your sins once and for all. Not just some of them, but all of them. That's the love of God in action. And the day you received Christ was the day you received that total forgiveness. Do you want to know with full confidence that God loves you? If so, will you rest in the truth that your sins have been forgiven? That's when the love of God will take root in your heart. I'm Bob Christopher, and I would love to send you a copy of my ebook, Forgiveness, The Door to Life. To request your copy, visit us at basicgospel.org. That's basicgospel.org.
So we are officially launched with Just a Minute with Bob Christopher. Exciting news.
Yes, indeed. And we're just thrilled to do this. And thank you to so many of our listeners and supporters who make these sort of outreaches.
Yes.
Possible. I was thinking this mercy, it's by the mercy of God that we have this ministry. That's what Paul said. That's what he wrote to the folks in Corinth. And those who give, they're having a ministry of mercy as well. It's a very, very important ministry of mercy. And the reason why people give to Basic Gospel, I think the reason why people give to various ministries is because they have that place in their heart that is moved by the condition of the world, that is coupled by that desire to do something about it.
Right.
I think believers want to be a part of the solution. We don't want to just analyze the problem. We don't want to just lay the problem out there. We know what the problem is. Why? Because we were a part of that problem. We were lost. We were dead. We were separated from the life of God. And now, because we've been, because we've received the mercy of God, now we want to be a part of that solution. So giving is a part of that solution. Giving to support the proclamation, empowering the proclamation of the Word of God, is a ministry of mercy to this lost and dark world. So thank you to all those who give regularly, who give generously, to enable these ministries to flourish, to connect people to the love of Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking today, since it's February 29th,
leap year day,
we only have this day one time in four years.
Yep.
Why not make it a special day and give a special gift, a leap year gift, to support the gospel of Jesus Christ? Allow that mercy of God to work in you, to move you to give of your resources, to be a part of the solution, to bring light into this dark world, to bring life to the dead, bring forgiveness to sinners, bring freedom to those who are in bondage. make a difference, have mercy, give today.
That's a good idea, and because this is the final day of the month, this is the last opportunity that we'll have to offer you Bob Christopher's 3-CD series, Profiles in Character, Lessons from Unlikely Heroes. That's of yours, of course, for a gift of any amount, and all you need to do is click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net or call and speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, basicgospel.net, donate any page, or by phone, 844-412-2742.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Antioch, California, and talk with Philip. Hi, Philip.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing okay.
Yeah, I listen to your radio station. I enjoy it. My question is, I was a Christian man. I got married to a lady that said she was a Christian in the year 2002. And when I got behind closed doors with her, she cussed me out. She would call me every name in the book, tell me I was having sex with my mother. She put me in the hospital twice. Kicked me out of the house. She'd be talking to me 1 minute, turn around and kick me out. Then she filed for divorce. Okay, I knew God. I knew as a born-again Christian, I didn't know anybody to tell me that Christians never get divorced. I never thought about counseling for marriage counseling or anything. We went to marriage counseling. The pastor that counseled us told me that she was crazy, get away from her and divorce her. And I was afraid. I said, no, I'd have to stay alone for the rest of my life. And in my thinking, that was the only woman on earth legally I could be with. So to make a long story short, I went back to her and married her again. And it ended in divorce again. She wasn't as violent, but she was just controlling. She really didn't want to go to church. She didn't want me to like to leave the house or anything. And by that time, I was tired of taking her abuse. I kind of wouldn't take it anymore. But I was wondering after this, it's been 8 years since the second divorce. And I'd asked her one time, and she said that she had moved on with her life. She has a boyfriend, and she didn't want nothing to do with me. So I'm wondering if I have to stay single for the rest of my life. I've studied the scriptures, and it kind of seems that way.
Well, Philip, you know, it gets down to whether she's a believer or not. I think she said to you that she was, but certainly her life style did not indicate that. So I don't know. I think the one thing, as far as she is concerned, is certainly pray that her eyes would be open to the truth and that she would come to know the Lord. But here's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 7. Says, but if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. The brother or the sister is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. So as you were describing your circumstance, that particular verse came to mind. I think that verse really describes what's going on. The fact that she wanted a divorce, that's not something that you desired, but I think the very fact that you are a believer, I think caused her to see her condition and the fact that she didn't want what you had. And so she leaves. And in that situation,
she was a Christian. She was, she'd always be witnessing at work how good God was. She's a checker, and she'd be talking about Jesus to everybody. And she'd come home and go off on me. She had an ex or ex-boyfriend, whatever, must have abused or whatever. And I was thinking, could she be a Christian and just have mental issues? But the fact is that and one time she said she was sorry for being a bad wife. And, you know, I knew I couldn't get a divorce, but inside of me, I was sick of it. To the point, because I got abused. I mean, she verbally abused me. I mean, on a daily basis.
Well, Philip, you're divorced now. It's been 8 years, right? You didn't walk out on her to get involved with another woman. She left.
I wouldn't care.
Yeah, she left. She left the marriage. Philip, if somebody comes into your path, I would leave that to the Lord. You know, there's a passage at the end of chapter 7, 1 Corinthians 7. It basically says, if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. Now, there's all kinds of different interpretations. You know, people will look at that and say, well, that's not talking to divorced people. There are others that will say, yes, that includes a divorced person. If they were divorced like you were, a person walked out on you, the spouse committed adultery, something like that, and they get remarried, It says they've sinned not. So others take a more literal. If you were married, you were married to a believer, then you can't, you know, you can't ever get remarried again. I think Philip, there's this deal. You've been involved with a woman. You've engaged sexually with a woman. There's some practical matters there that, you know, God would not necessarily overlook. So if a woman comes in your path and there's a relationship that starts, it's grounded in the love of Christ, it's grounded in the gospel, y'all become friends, I would just leave the direction of that into God's hands. I think he will give you the wisdom and the knowledge to know exactly what to do in that situation, Philip.
Oh, okay. Yes, I have a lady I'd like to, but I mean, I thought about it, and I've read so many interpretations and commentaries, and I got this fear inside of me. I don't want to sin against God. That's what I'm afraid of. And just to be walk around in a constant state of adultery, that's what got to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to, you know, lose my salvation because of it, so.
Well, there's plenty of people that have been divorced and then have been remarried. There are plenty of people in exactly your same condition, circumstance, that have gone ahead and gotten married, and this second marriage has been a wonderful thing for them. There are plenty of people in your situation who have said, I feel like the scripture is teaching me not to be remarried, and that's okay too. So I think you just leave that in the Lord's hands. Let the Spirit of God lead you in that situation, okay?
All right.
And there's nothing to fear. You're a child of God, right?
Yep.
God's forgiven you.
Okay.
There's no condemnation in Christ, right?
No.
Right. So there's nothing for you to fear. Who took your punishment? Who took the punishment of all your sins?
Jesus
did. So trust him. He loves you. He's interested in you. He cares for you. He's going to walk with you through this particular situation. So lean into him. Depend upon him. And I think you will see exactly what you need to do.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Philip. Thanks for your call.
Yeah. Guys, it's kind of a two-part question from Jose as we approach time to get off the air, but I think we have time to address this. He says, I've been struggling with my salvation. I've made it about church and Bible study, which is good, but when I'm alone, I feel guilty that I'm not doing those things. Would you put your faith in Christ Jesus? Isn't that a relationship? We'll get to the second part of that at another time, but let's address that particular one. When you put your faith in Christ, isn't it a relationship?
Well, it is a relationship, yes. Isn't it? Christianity is not rules and or regulations. It's not a self-improvement program. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. So how do we grow in that relationship? Well, we're going to read the Bible and that sort of thing. But that doesn't constitute the relationship. Those are just elements of it. The relationship was established by Jesus when he died to take away your sins, when he was raised from the dead so that you could have life. And so all that he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection opened the door for you to go boldly into the throne of grace. So go in. Enjoy his presence.
Yes.
In your time of need, expect him to meet that time of need with mercy and grace. That's the relationship that you have. This is the new covenant that we live in. And in this new covenant, one of the promises is that we will all know him from the least until to the greatest. That's the joy of what Christ has accomplished for us in his death, burial, and resurrection.
Absolutely. Jose, we'll get to the second part of your question if we have an opportunity tomorrow, and it is a good question as well. Friends, you can stay in touch with Basic Gospel while you're on the go by downloading the Basic Gospel app. It's available right now. We also invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. Just click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page of the website at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and the Basic Gospel Ministry team, I'm Bob Davis. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you will, too. Bye-bye.